Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today, we're dialing up Vienna to find out what might tickle our artistic fancy. And on the end of the line, to talk us through a few of her selected shows, is Monocle correspondent Kimberly Bradley. Up for discussion, we have political populism at the Kunsthalle Wien, Always, Always Others at Mumok, and Clegg and Gutmann's Modalities of Portraiture at Gallery Georg Kagel. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stick around. First things first, Kim Bradley, Happy New Year to you. As radio buddies, we can still do this, can't we? It's not too late for a Happy New Year.
I think we can. Happy New Year to you and to everyone.
And to everybody, the listening several. And first of all, we're going to the Kunsthalle Wien for something called Political Populism. This is not an oxymoronic title, is it?
No, it's actually not. It's a complicated show, which opened in November and runs to the end of January and kicked off with a symposium and will end with a symposium, basically asking what kind of mission can art have? How can populist mediums be political? Does politics belong in art? How do different artists deal with political issues? There's a lot of layers to this, and there are a lot of artists in the show. And it's free, and the Kunsthalle decided to do this so people would come back again and again, and that normal people who don't necessarily have a lot of money to go to museums would be able to go multiple times, which I have done, because there's so much to chew on.
This sounds like a fantastic thing, and it sort of sounds like the symposium at the start of the show is kind of an operating instructions, maybe, for how to take in this stuff, what to make of some of the artists. Is that fair to say?
It kind of is fair to say. I missed it, sadly.
You don't need operating instructions, Kim Bradley.
I don't need operating instructions. What happened there was that a lot of the artists who are the big stars spoke. For example, Trevor Paglen, who is dealing all the time, I mean, he's becoming more and more famous. He deals with surveillance. He worked with Edward Snowden and Laura Poitras on Citizen 4. He ends up showing a lot of his photography, which is often drone footage or photography done from a great distance of surveillance facilities in an art world context. He deals also with satellites and all the different ways that we're being observed. Some art world people think he's a bit too journalistic and that he's an investigator more than he is an artist. But what's interesting is he does his work in an artistic way. And he's got a piece up called 89 Landscapes, which is in a dark room at the Political Populism show, just showing 89 landscapes of surveillance facilities around the world, or landscapes that are being observed by various governments. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's an artistic piece, but you can sit there. It's meditative. It just goes on for hours. And so he spoke in real life. There were several other artists.
I wonder if this show, walking around it, I guess it's sort of almost, it probably changes as well, like in the way that Kunsthalle does it. It changes as you walk around it slightly. Does it feel like you're being bashed over the head with this idea of political populism? Or do you feel like you're going to an art show and there is a subtle idea of politics running through it?
There's a little bit of bashing because each piece is so strong. There's a lot of video work. And one reason I keep going back is that it's very difficult to look at a lot of video work just for time-based reasons. The videos take some time. There are pieces that are easier to understand. There is, for example, Flaka Haliti, who's an artist from Kosovo. She actually had the Venice Biennale Kosovo Pavilion this year, has these lovely sculptures in the basement of Kunsthalle that look like children's drawings. They're figures in wire. They've got their feet, or they're planted in blue sand in IKEA bags. And that's kind of a comment on migration as a child would see it. That's quite nice. But the big hit, there's one thing that bashes you, but it's done in a subtle way because it's in a black box and you have to kind of find it within the exhibition, is Hito Steyerl's Factory of the Sun, which is a video that was also shown in Venice at the German Pavilion this year. That's a bit like a video game. It's as if we are, you know, young people, activists in the world, are being thrust into a video game. And she shows how this could play out. Like, if you die, you become an avatar. And the way her films always run, they have heavy messages, but they run a little bit like music videos. So they're really fun to watch again and again. There's a lot of music and dancing.
And it sounds like we're sort of veering into the world of, well, obviously video art and also the world of the digital. So much political agitation, so much political knowledge is gained and so much stuff is shared, you know, online, Kim, these days. Does that bear itself out in some of the techniques and some of the mediums that the artists are using at the Kunsthalle?
Hito's film, for example, has a lot of jump cuts, as you would see in the internet. Trevor's less so. And some of the other films are almost more documentary. They're more old school.
Okay, so they're engaging with the old school kind of news gathering.
Yes and no. I mean, there's a broad range. If you stay long enough and if you come for repeat visits, you do see all of these things. But I wouldn't say one method overrides in this show, which is quite nice.
It sounds like something I want to walk around. I want to go and drink this in. Maybe make it to the final symposium as well, right? What do you get? Have you started off with operating instructions? What's the last symposium called? That's kind of like things we've learned. There's a Jerry Springer moment at the end, perhaps.
Perhaps. The guiding question of the last symposium has been announced already. Is it art's mission to have a mission? But they don't have a list of speakers yet. So once that happens, I'll let you know.
It sounds like a good slogan for a T-shirt, at least. I like the sound of that. That was Political Populism, and that's on at the Kunsthalle Wien until the 7th of February, as recommended by Kimberly Bradley. Next, we're going to talk about Always, Always Others. We're off to Mumok, where Ulrika Müller and Malwena Ammer have created a show called Always, Always Others. This is another group exhibition that showcases some of the museum's less well-known permanent collection items from the early 20th century. So what do we see as we walk around Mumok?
There are quite a few shows on at Mumok, but this is the one on the first floor, or actually the entrance level. You come in and you can kind of see it through windows. It's the opposite of Political Populism, which is actually next door. These museums are adjacent to each other in the Museumskarte in Vienna. It's quiet. Most of the work is a century old, and it traces unconventional threads through modernism. And so essentially what we think of when we think of modernism, cubism, you think of Braque and Picasso, you see those same works over and over again, no matter where you go in the world, the Tate or the MoMA. You think of some of the perhaps political work between the First and Second World War by the German expressionists, by like Dix or Georg Gross. But here, I mean, the MoMAC has 10,000 works by, I think, about 2,000 artists in its archives. And in most museums, you only see 2-4% of what's in storage. And the curators went sorting through and they decided, you know, what kind of narratives happened at this period of time that we don't really see very often. And so they've pulled works by artists from the Czech Republic, or works by, for example, Austrian designer Joseph Hoffmann, who's very known as a furniture designer. He designed like silverware and cups and glasses that you can still buy in Vienna. But you see a lot of his sketches. You see paintings by František Kupta, who's a Czech painter who dealt a lot with the expressionist themes that you see elsewhere. Georg Gross, you see still lifes by him with objects that you'd find at home, whereas most of the work that you'd normally know would be outdoor scenes of World War I. Béla Kádár is a Hungarian artist, and he was very inspired by cubism, so there's some really lovely pieces by him. For me, just walking around, it was absolutely fascinating to see these really underrepresented threads of very familiar aesthetics from early modernism. So it's almost like a joy. You see the Eastern European influence, you see lesser artists or artists that were less popular, but you see some of the same threads going through from a slightly different angle. It's absolutely wonderful and very meditative.
And presumably you see, as you've told us, Kim, you see some of the sort of lesser thoughts or the more unknown works from major artists. And then you also see what's in the vaults of the museum. As you mentioned, museums are always like icebergs, aren't you? What you see on the walls is sort of about 2% of the overall stash. Is this something that you kind of feel would be a bit of a trend for museums, actually, when there aren't travelling shows, big blockbuster shows, that people will be very keen to sort of turf out the wardrobe, as it were, and show some of the things that they might have acquired 100, even 200 years ago, and refresh them with a new kind of context?
I am seeing more museums doing this, especially throughout the German-speaking world. The new National Gallery, which at the moment is closed for renovations in Berlin, really made an effort in the past 5 years to always have kind of mingling with or alternating with the traveling blockbusters, some sort of dive into the permanent collection. The MoMAC got a new director about 4 or 5 years ago. Her name is Carola Kraus, and she's German. And she really announced when she arrived that the permanent collection would be featuring more largely in the shows. And it's been wonderful to see, I guess, new takes on things when they have artists curate, like they have here with Ulrike Müller. They combine things differently. And sometimes new work gets combined with the old work. And I just think it's a shame to have national treasures just languishing in a basement somewhere.
You could be on your wall, couldn't they?
Yeah, of course.
You take care of course. It. Me too. Let's just split the dividend and be done with it. That was Always, Always Others, and that's on at Mumok, Cheek by Jowl with the Kunsthalle Wien. Until the 8th of May, plenty of time to check that one out. Kim, we're going to end with Clegg and Gutmann at the Georg Kargl Gallery. Now, this sounds like a nice show. Talk us through this one.
This is a show of mostly photographed portraits. So Clegg and Gutmann, they're an artist duo, and they've been around since the 80s. They got their start in New York. Now, Michael Clegg is in Berlin, and Martin Gutmann is in Vienna, where he's a professor. They're Israeli. And they deal with a lot of different themes. They deal with the idea of allegory a lot. So they, when they shoot portraits, like not always, not all of their photographs are portraits, but they take usually well-known people and place them in situations that they're reminiscent of a Renaissance painting, for example. Like they'll sit in a very dark corner, but with one stream of light, upon the face and the hands of the subject. The background looks like it could be a medieval background.
Somewhere between like an Annunciation and a Vermeer or something here.
Very much like this. They're really dealing with this idea of classical portraiture. But the subjects might be, a work I saw in Berlin years ago was the ex-mayor, Klaus Wowereit, looking like a nun from the 17th century.
Did that help his electoral chances, do you think?
It did not, alas. It didn't help him finish the airport either. In this case, what we see are a lot of the luminaries of the Vienna art world. So if you were to walk in and you don't know who these people are, the subjects of the photographs, you would just think, what an interesting study on classical portraiture. You know, the perfect use of light, the use of libraries in the background, some of the subjects are standing in front of their books. If you know these people, you could see the show almost as a piece of institutional critique. You see a very major collector couple from Vienna standing next to an antique table with a bowl of apples. And the wife looks very elegant, and the man is looking off into the distance. It's almost as if they're Adam and Eve. Or there's several pictures of three different museum directors looking very much like nobles, and actually two of them are. They have some blue blood. Sitting with their libraries or sitting or standing near artworks, very much as a noble would, painted by Velázquez, for example, who painted a lot of the Habsburgs many centuries ago. The gallerist himself is in a seated portrait, looking very bearded and professorial, almost like Karl Marx. He's in the back room. And I found it very slightly humorous.
It sounds playful, right? It reminds me slightly of the idea Eric Fischel did these art fair portraits last year, I think at the Victoria Miro Gallery, and they were very interesting. And a lot of major collectors and curators and people sort of hated being put into his paintings, but sort of were really offended if they were missed out, because of course it was all about the big power players. So it sounds a little bit like that.
It is. I even know a few of the subjects, and I thought, you know, this is a double-edged, it's exactly what you say, it's a double-edged sword. You're like, do I want to do this? But what if I'm not in this? It operates on several layers. I know the artists, and they're very philosophically oriented, and I know that they did this on purpose. And so it's quite fun, again, if you're familiar with the Viennese, and it's quite serious, and also a bit fun if you're not.
It sounds like playful stuff, courtesy of Clegg and Gutmann. That's at the Georg Kargl Gallery. Before that, we talked about Always, Always Others. That's on at Mumok until May, and Political Populism at the Kunsthalle Wien. You've got until the beginning of February to see that one. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Thanks to my guest, Kimberly Bradley, on the line from Vienna. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow to talk music with the Quietus's Luke Turner. But for now, for me, Robert Bounds, thanks for tuning in.